if I was trying to, in essence, reform a church like that, is I would have a men's Bible study one morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, Thursday morning. And I would want to have a small group of men, 10 to 15 men. It could end up being larger than that, but I would want a small, manageable group where I could see into everybody's eyes. And I would study, there would be certain truths that I would study with them, and if I had those men stand with me, then I could stand against anything or anybody. And the only way to turn the church would be to turn the key men in the church. And I can't leave it for Sunday morning because I'm having to preach to everybody. I can have a more full disclosure of the truth in a smaller setting, and there's opportunity for give and take and exchange, and they're also up close to you, and it becomes contagious. And so I would personally, just from my own experience in that study, I would either study the attributes of God, and it would just be God, 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 and they would see God like they have never seen God before. I mean, they would leave that study going, my head is hurting. I mean, you've just blown the rooftop off of this. So I would do the attributes of God, and I've done many times how we got the Bible. I mean, people just assume that we got the Bible from Nashville or something. You know? I mean, do you know how you even got your Bible?
From King James.
1611. And so I walked through the whole, you know, the five major links in the chain on how it goes from the mind of God. Feel free to turn that off if you would. Yeah, we've got a bathtub in here if you need to. Baptize it. You know, how it goes from the mind of God to print on paper. And once people see, there just needs to be a healthy, reverential awe for the Bible. And when the Bible speaks, God speaks. I think in a lot of churches, it carries more clout and more weight for you to quote Charles Stanley or whoever else than Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And so people need to have a sense of trembling at the Word of God, lest we not obey the entirety of the Scripture. That would be the second thing that I would do. And then third, I think you have to preach through books in the Bible because you preach the full counsel of God. You can't ride a hobby horse. You can't duck certain issues. And some books are less provocative than others, but you've got to set the agenda, or the Scripture has to set the agenda as you go through books in the Bible. And I think as long as you're just always doing, and I'm not picking on the family, but a family series or just, you know, playing off of a TV program or a movie title or some sappy approach to the pulpit like that, you're just always going to have, you know, VBS for adults. They need to be, I think, confronted, jolted, shocked with God. So that would be those three things are the first three that, you know, come to my mind. And that's it's always the challenge to reform a church. Luther tried to stay in the Catholic Church. Calvin came out. Calvin accomplished far more out than Luther trying to remain in. The Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Independents, and the Congregationalists came out of the Church of England. The Puritans tried to stay inside the Church of England and reform it, and they were thrown out on their ear in the Great Ejection. And they couldn't change it from the inside out. And it's rare in church history that you're able to change from the inside out. I mean, new wine does not easily fit in old wineskins.